We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mike, talking with Ben after the game, he said there's not a no-huddle option in the offense and something that he's used for a long time. Is that something that was taken out, and would you consider adding that back in as the season goes on?
He was probably referencing last week. You know, it wasn't in the plan last week. Man, we don't try to limit ourselves in any way. Last week's plan is last week's plan. This week's plan could be this week's plan. And so, that's the mentality that I have and we have. Obviously, you guys have watched us for any length of time, know that we're no huddle capable.
All right, presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. Roundtable Tuesday, trying to make sense of the Steelers' loss to the Raiders with Arthur Motes.
How are we going to make it make sense, man?
Presented by Parks Casino, must be 21, gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we've got reporters who asked Mike Tomlin questions about the offense. A lot of fan complaints got addressed today, including this one where Ben, and I'm going to play it so people know what happened here. So Roethlisberger, after the game, got asked a question about no huddle offense.
Going no huddle when you guys are doing that, a couple drives, did that help you guys find a rhythm and move the ball down the field?
Yeah, but we don't really have a no huddle. It's just, that's kind of like our 2-minute offense. So it's that's was the change up, just going kind of a 2-minute, pick it up, take pace.
All right. And Tomlin's,
what week did you have for the Ben passive aggressive shot at the coaching staff? Because I set it at 1.5 and I took the over. Very smart.
Because Tomlin said, well, this was just for one game. I understand how with a bad offensive line that's young, when you speed things up on them, you can make it even worse. So you might go into a game thinking, it's not wise right now, based on the lack of experience and cohesiveness that we have, to do this, to design, you know, beforehand a big no-huddle package for this game. But what I don't get is, you have all of training camp and all of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
What, like you just put the no-huddle package in a paper shredder, it gets deleted, and no one can, like, find the email or the file that has all of their no-huddle plays in it?
Here's the other part. The no-huddle has always been code for, like, the Ben stands in the media or fans. Ben does it his way.
That's what Ben loves, the no huddle. Let me draw it
up
in the dirt.
So there is no, like, thing to put in the paper shredder. It's all up here. It's in his mind. He's the one with full autonomy and control. You shouldn't need to work on it real. Oh, and by the way, to the work on it part, it's a good point about the O-line. You've also got Gus Bradley in his first year there as defensive coordinator. And Gus Bradley's real good, but that defense is not. What's their only really good attribute? The defensive line. Arthur, can you tell me, does the no huddle hurt the defensive line more than just about anybody else because it gasses
Absolutely.
So, okay, gasses out their best part of their defense. Their coordinator is new, so even if he's good, there's going to be some sort of bumps along the way, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback is by far, by orders of magnitude, the most important person and has the most control in the no huddle and has it mostly in his brain and has admitted to just drawing plays up in the dirt. Oh, by the way, your receivers, who also have to be on the same page, are pretty experienced at doing this because they're pretty much all coming back. Your running back's a real smart guy, a sharp dude. Tell me again why you need to have this sketched out and why this can't be one of those hero turns for Roethlisberger where he says, hey, boys, get on my back. I'm 39, but I can still carry us against this defense.
So I do agree. It is funny when we talk about it like that. But in all seriousness, man, the no-huddle concept, from my understanding, is still from the playbook. It's
right.
Just when you talk about drawing it up, instead of it being, hey, we're going to run whatever you want to call this, where you'll have a stop, you'll have a vertical, and you'll have an in, drawing it up is, all right, hey, Mosey, man, you run this out real quick. Pony, man, I don't like how this coverage looks. Hey, you give me a vertical. All right, Nas, you go off the backfield flare that way. That's the drawing it up in the dirt kind of concept. But you don't, like, in terms of the practice part, you don't need it for the play element. I think of the practice part for the mechanics, though, in terms of when that ball is spotted, right, you notice how certain teams, they're picking it up, running it back to the middle of the field, right? Those are the little things that you want to work with some of those younger guys with. But I feel like they've already done similar things. I mean, we've seen them, I know I have personally, in training camp, work on two-minute situations. Where's hurry-up offense? Where they're doing these things. So it was a little surprising to me that they didn't have that up.
But it's not only the two-minute no-huddle.
It's not just two minutes. We're changing tempo.
We go to the line of scrimmage. Ben looks around, and then he calls out a play from there.
Correct.
And he's saying, we don't have that. And then Tomlin's saying, well, we do. We just didn't have it for this week.
Yeah. Ben's lying, by the way, and Tomlin's trying to cover for him. He can run something that looks like that anytime he wants. I'm sorry. Like, I've been pretty deferential, and I've soft-pedaled this as far as criticizing him because I think the line is the bigger problem. He's lying. He's doing it to put a – he's already taking shots at Canada because he doesn't like the way things are going, and he's frustrated, and he's lashing out. He can run the freaking no-huddle whenever he wants. They ran no-huddle in this game, and a lot of people cited
two-minute drill no-huddle.
They ran no-huddle, and people cited that as being the time when they looked their best. I agree, but then they tried to do it again a couple series later, and they had a 1 yard gain and a 3 yard loss.
Well, they did it a lot against Buffalo, but it was
mostly a two minute drill, no huddle in the second half. It's not a cure all.
I know it, Chris.
I think Ben wants it to be perceived as a cure all.
Well, because that's how it was perceived last year. Remember, that was why people would get excited.
It shifts the onus to the coaches for not letting him do his thing more than it shifts the onus to maybe them just not being good
enough. I just think it was stupid, and I said it at the time, and I'll remind people of this now. If you were going to bring Ben back and try to run it back 1 year with him, just keep Fichtner for one more year. If you're really going to change your offense and turn a page, then get rid of Ben, promote Canada, and have another quarterback in there.
You know,
it's this weird half measure where it's an odd marriage between the two.
I mean, even to the point where, think about how many people, just from an optics perspective, talk about how similar Matt Canada's offense looked versus the Raiders compared to how Randy Fichtner was looking a year ago. That's something that I don't think any of us ever thought would be said or even viewed similarly or even remotely close to, but it's the truth right now.
It makes sense that they're
looking similar.
It makes sense that it would look similar, though, because it's,
it's
funny. Matt Canada's offense and Randy Fichtner's offense, and the truth, of course, is that it's Ben Roethlisberger's offense.
I mean, to be honest with you, to make a I hate people, don't bring up politics on the radio. I don't mean it in this way. It's honestly like their ideologies on how to, their offensive ideologies are different. It would be like saying the offensive coordinator is a Democrat, the quarterback's a Republican.
Don't bring up politics on the radio,
but
Pony.
But do you know what I mean? It's like they.
That's fake news.
I honestly don't think that they have the same philosophy on things.
No, I agree.
I mean, answer me this, Pony. Do you think it matters almost what the coordinator's philosophy is? I think the quarterback wants to run it his way. And the reason he said Coach Randy didn't deserve what he got was Coach Randy let him run it his way.
Right.
And he knows that if his friend is there, he sort of stands in the way and takes the bullets for the offense if they don't perform.
But how do you get the most out of Ben? Give him somebody that lets him do what he wants?
Trade for the entire Cleveland Browns offensive line and Bill Callahan.
Oh, man.
Wait, you laugh.
No, I'm laughing because it's
true.
I mean, I'm not knocking it, but it's just funny, man, because – yeah, we know that that's not happening now.
Well, Pony, what did you and I both say should happen this offseason before it was a given he was coming back? You gave two options there. Don't deal in half measures. Either keep Fichtner and keep Ben or blow out Ben and
Fichtner. I wanted them to do the latter.
So did I. You say, how do you get the most out of Ben? I don't even know at
this
point.
Even when Ben wasn't in a salty mood and snarky after a loss, how many times during training camp did he make it sound like...
I do whatever Matt Canada says.
But no,
this is offense.
I'm talking about how, like... how hard it was and difficult it was to learn a new offense.
It's like a foreign language.
Exactly.
That was out of his mouth, too. Yeah.
Right.
I think he was laying the groundwork a little bit there, too.
But that's not how you get the most out of him, Chris.
Well, how do you?
Comfort. Go back to what you know. I mean, in terms of at this stage.
Yeah. I want Pony to answer the question, though. You're asking it rhetorically. So tell me, how do you get the most out of him?
I think you keep Fichtner, but I still don't think that gets you. I still don't think that gets you to where you want to go.
Okay.
I mean, you can pacify Ben and say, you know what, Ben? We'll do it your way. I still think that probably makes him marginally better, but how much better? But I also, on the other hand, don't see how, like, Canada saying, this is how we're going to do things, it's my way, makes him better either. And clearly they're not doing that because the bells and whistles and the jet motions and stuff weren't there in the game on Sunday.
Whoa. We saw two of them.
We saw Juju score on one.
And we saw Claypool get
but
one.
But don't you, it feels like there's an internal tug of war between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator.
It's a relationship, baby. It's a relationship.
Yeah, well, there was no honeymoon stage.
No. Sometimes you get thrusted right into it, man. They're thrusted into it. They're figuring this thing out on the fly in a very high, stressful situation.
You've heard of codependent relationships,
absolutely,
right? Because that's what this one is, and it's very dysfunctional.
I thought we were talking toxic. You know, that's like the new thing, man.
Well, listen, man, I'll just say this. You know, Canada, you presume, is going to be here for a longer term than Ben.
I don't know about that.
Hey, I was about to say, you sure?
I mean, you would think. I would hope Ben's done after this year. I don't feel like waiting around to see if the line gets better for him to suddenly improve at 40. I think he wants to keep playing. But, I mean, if you commit to Matt Canada, are you
I think
saying
if
it's
Ben
a one-year stopgap?
And I think that there's a decent percentage this happens with the line and the fact that he's already dealing with a pec injury. I think if Ben makes it through this season in one piece, he will want to raise next year. And even if the numbers aren't there, he'll say, you dealt me a crappy hand. A new offense and a horrible line.
Couldn't they say back, you dealt us a crappy hand by not holding onto the ball and trying to make plays last year?
Yeah, but who do you think in those situations
I know who will win. I also know who should win. They're putting one guy, if that happens, hypothetically, they're putting one guy above the team.
See, I don't look at it as putting him above the team. I'm still frustrated that if they were going to go this route, we knew what they needed to do. We talk about that. Everybody wants to, that brings up Ben still having it. They always bring up Brady. That's their argument, right? Look at Brady his last year in New England. Look at him now in Tampa.
Okay.
The biggest difference, though, look at the O-line that he played with in New England at last year, and look at the protection he has in Tampa now.
Mm-hmm.
Ben has the same level of weapons. He doesn't have any not to the full extent, but
I get what you're saying.
He has the weapons.
You're talking about like Tampa?
Absolutely. He has weapons. He doesn't have the O-line right now.
Yeah, the skill players aren't the problem.
And until they address that, it doesn't matter who we put back there. I don't think it's going to change the outcome.
Here's the other difference with, I would say, with Ben and with Brady. When Brady went down to Tampa last year, there's been a lot written about this. They tried to force him sort of into Arians' system, and they
changed.
Do it a different way.
Uh-huh.
And basically, Brady just said, screw this. Eventually, it kind of clicked for everyone. They said, we're going to do it Tom's way, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And looky here, they won, what, 8 straight to end the season? Tom Brady's also got 7 Super Bowls now.
True.
Ben Roethlisberger has 2 and hasn't won one in almost 15 years.
But let's come on now. We understand that. Everybody doesn't understand that.
I know. I guess
man.
I'm trying to vent, like, frustration-wise is, if I can see that from my little ivory tower here, why can't everybody else?
Well, I think they're trying to find this, like, give and take and happy medium between what the offensive coordinator wants and what Ben wants and trying to find the middle ground. The problem with that is, in my opinion, if Ben initially didn't respect Todd Haley enough to do that, a guy with a much better resume, why would he do that with Matt Canada? If I could picture this. If I'm him, and I know in the back of my mind, this might be my last season, I'm going to trust Matt Canada? Screw that. I'm going to go out on my own terms.
Do you think Ben would trust Eric Bieniemy or Andy Reid?
I think more than this guy.
But how much would he actually trust them? I think that is part of the problem here. You've got a guy who doesn't respect anybody in
that seat. And I think the way the Haley thing got sold was pretty much, we're bringing this guy in because he needs to keep you in check. The crazy plays with Arians were done with that, and I think he took that personally.
But those are some of the best years of his career.
I know.
He also didn't like Haley because Haley never played football.
But I also think he
took...
But
those are some of the best years of his career.
I also think Ben took the Fichtner thing personally. This is my guy, we're friends, and you're blowing him out of here? He said in an interview since he thought the guy basically got scapegoated. That's not good.
But he's not willing to say he got scapegoated because I sucked.
I know! He thinks the guy got a raw deal.
Okay, hey, Ben, who do you think did this? Go look in the mirror.
All right, here's one more from Tomlin. Compliments of our guy, Jeff.
Why not use Derek Watt?
That's an option as well. We got a limited number of snaps that we have available to us from a preparation standpoint, and we make decisions week in and week out based on matchups and our perceived strengths versus their potential perceived strengths. And so Derek is a valued member of our team. He's the captain of our special teams. He's a very credible fullback. Some weeks he's going to be featured. Some weeks he's going to not be featured. And sometimes it might not have anything to do with his capabilities. It's just the nature of this thing. James Washington is a very capable receiver. Some weeks he gets more opportunity than others. Oftentimes you get questions like that when you're unsuccessful. I get it, but it doesn't change our approach.
The approach being we're never going to use him because that's been the approach so far. All these matchup games that he's talking about, Mike Tomlin in more than a year has not found a matchup that he likes with Derek Watt.
One of these days when we play a college team, we're going to love Derek Watt out there.
Do you know, like, even in the preseason, he didn't use him in that way.
And it's funny to me because having the ability to see him at practice, it was like, man, Derek was doing some things where I'm just like, Derek, I didn't know you could catch that well. I didn't know you could do this that well, like, because we never see him out there.
Right.
And then you get to the season, it's like, man, we're not even going to attempt it. And it's frustrating to me because the method that they're trying to use right now is not working, right? In terms of, all right, we're going to come out here and jet sweep you. We're going to try to ghost motion you. We're going to ultimately try to trick you when we're running the ball, but that's not working.
But we just said they're actually not even trying.
I know.
Really.
So my thing is,
how do we know?
Why don't you go the route of playing bigger personnel groupings? Because
well,
that's
a Canada thing too. Because at Pitt, yes, their fullback was good.
And think about this, right? You have Derek Watt. Okay, he could block. Good. And he gives you a little bit of receiving ability. But more importantly, you got two tight ends that can get the job done for you. Zach Gentry in terms of blocking, Pat in terms of blocking, and the receiving element. And I bring this up because New England would do this all the time back when they had who? Gronk, Hernandez. I believe it was Watson was their third tight end for one time. But they would do a lot of bigger personnel groupings to force you to play base defense. And then when you start trying to stop the run, they're going to spread you out and throw out of that. You don't mean to tell me Najee Harris versus any linebacker in the league, we're not chalking that up as a dub? Pat Freiermuth versus one of these linebackers, we don't like that matchup? I love that. And then when that defense says, okay, we're going to go small ball because now we got to stop these guys, okay, now we're going to bring this thing right back in here and actually run the ball out of this big personnel grouping. I think of that and I say, why can't we do that? We don't have the personnel for that.
Quarterback.
That helps your O-line.
I don't know about that, Chris. Ben's always ranting and raving about how important the tight end position and how much that helps them.
And you know what I would love to hear him do once? Instead of passive-aggressively snipe about what they are or are not capable of doing or say, hey, I don't have a say in whether we go for it fourth and one. Man, if ultimately your desire is to be the quarterback and the de facto offensive coordinator, start acting like it behind the scenes and throw your weight around aggressively and not passive-aggressively. There's nothing I hate more as a viewer. And as a person that would like to see the team win, because business is good when they win, there's nothing I hate more than him after the fact, an 18-year future Hall of Famer, acting like little old me, Ben Roethlisberger, speak up to the coaches. Why, I have to bring an apple for Mr. Canada every day or else he's going to put me in detention. You can raise both middle fingers at those guys and tell them you're going to do it your way, and there isn't a damn thing they can do to stop you.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text, and Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. We will hear Jeff Hathorn from Steelers headquarters on his biggest takeaways from Tom when he was there. Zach Banner at 5 right now. It's headline time.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.